guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And please subscribe. We are now on iTunes. Tonight we have, or today, wherever you are listening around the world. Tony, how you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Carl?
Not too bad, yeah.
Going all right, mate. Sabby, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Doing all right. So, let's get straight into it, guys. The end of the transfer window. We, didn't really meet some fans' expectations, but Chamberlain, for me, $40 million to Liverpool, 6 years at Arsenal. I've said to you boys earlier, I thought he come across a nice guy. Not really the footballer we're going to miss. What's your thoughts on it, Tony?
I mean, obviously, it's what you're going to do when a player goes is say, oh, we didn't need him. It's like when you break up from your missus, you claim she was ugly, even though you really cry at night about her. The problem is, like, 40 million is a great price for him, especially with the potential add-ons as well, and only a year left on his contract, and he didn't want to play for us anymore. So, all in all, it's a great deal. The problem is, I think fans are overlooking that it does make us weaker. Like, we put a tweet out earlier saying, who's your starting 11 with the current players available? And anyone that was playing on the right in either a 4-2-3-1 or a 5-3-2 or however you want to call it, a five at the back system, they weren't as good as Chamberlain. So I think we got a great deal for him, but where we haven't reinvested that money, I think it makes us a weaker team with him going. As I said, he didn't want to play for us and whatnot, so we had to sell him. But I don't think we're a better team for him having gone.
Reece Nelson, he steps into the position, or I did see reports of Kolasinac going there, or...?
No, it would be Kolasinac going left and Bellerin going on the right, but as we've fully established that at wing-back, Chamberlain is a lot better than Bellerin. And Reece Nelson, the boy is 17, he's played 1 minute of competitive football as a 93rd minute sub in the Community Shield. You can't expect him to come in and play 90 minutes week in, week out for over a 50-game season. It's madness.
Mm-hmm. What do you take of it all, Carl? Chamberlain?
In terms of finance, it was a sound deal, 40 million, of course. But, going back to that point about not reinvesting that money, we didn't get a replacement, of course. Obviously, it was a deadline deal. Arsenal always leave it to the last minute, but we didn't even leave ourselves enough time to get a deadline day deal at this stage. Like Tony said, it leaves our team weaker, to be honest. He was a good asset to the team. Obviously, he didn't want to play for the team anymore. At that point, you do have to sell, but still, yeah, I agree that the team's definitely become weaker as a result. Reece Nelson can't be, playing maybe 20 games or whatever amount of games. Because Bellerin is going to get injured during the season, I think. That it usually happens to one of the defenders, at least. We know Arsenal defenders, don't we?
Yes, we do. Savvy, he turned down a bid, Chamberlain. I believe it was in the 160,000 mark or something like that. He wanted to play in a centre type of role. He didn't get that, so he's obviously thinking he's going to get it at Liverpool. Will he actually get that position at Liverpool?
I don't think so. He'll play central midfield at Liverpool, because I think all midfielders over there are better than him. I don't know. I think Klopp really wanted him, and he convinced him to join. So maybe that's why he turned down Chelsea for Liverpool. But I don't think central midfield is his... it's his preferred position, but I don't think he will get that at Liverpool. Not ahead of Jordan Henderson, and I think Emre Can is in good form. Wijnaldum is there. I think some good players over there.
Okay. What, anyone else want to wrap anything on Chamberlain, or pretty much it's...
Just you mentioned that he turned down 180 grand a week from Arsenal. That's partially true. It was 120 grand a week going up to 180 if we get back in the Champions League, and it was incentive based on performances as well. So if you hit a certain number of performances and we get back in the Champions League, your contract will rise to that. But it was actually only 120 offers, which is 5 grand a week less than what he's signed for at Liverpool. Chelsea offered 220, which is obviously 100 or 95 grand more than either of them. So it really wasn't a money move.
It was a positional move.
Yeah.
And he was never going to get the playing time at Chelsea, was he?
Well, I think they guaranteed him that he would be their first choice right wing back, and that's not what he wanted.
He could have done that at Arsenal.
Yeah.
True.
Okay. Righto. So, see you later, Chamberlain. Thank you for your 6 years' service at Arsenal. Kieran Gibbs, he made a move to West Brom. $7 million. Now, some people say that was a good deal for us. He's an international player, though, isn't he?
I tweeted this earlier in the window, and now's a good chance to explain it, actually. If he didn't go, he would have cost us £20 million for a player that is third-choice left-back. Because with his wages and missing out on that $7 million transfer fee, and he definitely would have gone for free in the summer because he is third-choice left-back, you've actually... Yes, we've only got $7 million in, but you've saved the wages and the sign-on fee and whatnot. Maybe not $20 million, but probably closer to $15 million you've saved by letting him go. So it does make sense. $7 million is cheap for a player of his quality, but you've got to look at the other side of things, what it would have cost Arsenal to keep him.
Yeah, yeah. And what you thought that was a pretty good deal, Carl?
Well, we got some money for him, I guess.
Yeah,
Kieran Gibbs has been a loyal servant to the club. Never really complained from what I've heard. But, yeah, sad to see him go, but I'm happy he's still staying in the Premier League. He deserves that at least.
He seemed, and just on media reports, and I know he doesn't capture headlines like a Sanchez or Ozil, but to me, just seemed a very professional, the way things were handled with Gibbs, as opposed to, you know, that we've all heard Mustafi and whatnot. What were your thoughts on it, Savvy?
I think it was a good deal for us. And, yeah, he was a great guy, Kieran Gibbs. And, yeah, I'm glad he's still in the Premier League. And I think he's still quality. And it makes sense because I think he wouldn't have played much at Arsenal. So, yeah, that move makes a lot of sense.
Tony, just quickly on Gibbs, Tony. Does he start at West Brom?
Ability-wise, he will be their best left-back. The only issue is Pulis likes to play the four biggest people he can find, regardless of whether they can kick a football or not. so the only thing that may cost him is that he isn't 6'9". But in terms of ability, he will be their best left-back. And if they're looking for a bit more pace, then I'd imagine he'll start. But it all depends. Sometimes a good player can not suit the manager, and Gibbs could fall into that bracket. I mean, I hope for him he does play because he is still a good player. I mean, recently for not playing, people at Arsenal fans seem to have decided he was awful. He wasn't awful. He just wasn't as good as Monreal, who was probably our most consistent player. So I hope it worked out for him, but we'll just see if he's a Pulis player.
He struck a bit of injury too, which was unlucky, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but who hasn't at Arsenal?
Yeah. Did you want to add anything else on that, Savvy? I'd cut you off, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying good luck to him.
Yeah, okay. At last, Lucas Perez has finally got a loan move. I really felt for Lucas Perez because, you know, he's been stuck at Arsenal last season. He didn't get real good game time. When he actually got the game time, he looked really good. The only thing I wonder why a loan move? Why wasn't it a permanent deal?
I don't think Deportivo have any money.
You think it just comes down to that?
Well, they paid $4 million up front, and I'm not sure if it's an option or an obligation to buy. If it's an obligation, it just indicates that they had no money this summer. If it's an option, then I don't know what's going on, to be honest. But I'd imagine that, I mean, they received £17 million from last year and they paid £4 million to have him for a year. But as I said, if they've not got any money, I don't know if it went through. I was watching their game last week against, was it Real Madrid they played? And their star striker at the moment, he's been linked with moves left, right and centre. There's a Premier League team linked with him as well. I can't remember his name. But maybe they were hoping for the money for him to come in. And it would be able to fund the transfer. And it got to the point where it was so late for us, not them, We just had to let him go on a loan with a fee and then a potential either option or obligation to buy.
Yeah, okay. What do you think, Carl? Like, he was one of them players that I thought, you know, would show a bit of, well, not potential, I suppose, because he did have what we were looking for.
He did, but at the end of the day, he was a panic buy. He was just there to appease the Arsenal fans, to be honest, after a lacklustre window where we wanted a striker. I don't know if Wenger sold him dreams or whatever, but Lucas thinking he was going to start every game after being in a panic buy, I don't understand. I'm happy for him to go back to Deportivo, to be honest. He deserves a game time. He's a prolific striker from what I saw from him when he was playing for Arsenal. Was he a Wenger-type player? I don't think he was. I don't know why, but...
He didn't really have a faith in him or something, I don't know.
No.
Savvy, what's your thoughts on the loan deal over there?
Yeah, I think it makes sense, but I think he deserved a chance at Arsenal. But as Carl and Tony mentioned, it was a panic buy, I think, because we didn't get Vardy. So, yeah, I think he was a good player, but never Arsene Wenger's player. So, yeah, good move. I think it will be permanent next season. As Tony mentioned, Deportivo, I think money was a problem for them. So, yeah, this move makes sense, and we are getting the money for loan move. So, it's a good move.
Now, I felt sorry for Lucas Perez, but Joel Campbell, this is his sixth loan that he's had since he's been at Arsenal. Is Wenger lost? He's got no faith in him, Tony, or what's going on with him?
To be honest, I don't know why he hasn't been sold. I don't know if it's a loss of faith or just realising that the guy clearly isn't good enough. He may play 10, 15 games, and some of them he was, not last season, the season before, and he was awful at first. He got a bit better, but he just wasn't up to standard. He was sometimes the best player in a very bad team when we was playing, obviously, poorly. But he's not, to be honest, I don't think he's a player for the Premier League either, which is why, of them six loans, they've never been in the Premiership. So I don't understand why he's not been sold is more the issue than, I mean, if you're going to loan someone six times, they're not then going to come back into the team and shine.
No, it sounds weird to me. And he'd probably be, what, 5 million or something?
I don't know. It's difficult to put a price on him because he hasn't played for so long. All I can imagine is that, I mean, it happened so late that I'd imagine we was trying to sell him all summer and couldn't get a fee for him. So he's ended up going out on loan. But that's just based on common sense. I don't have any information that says we were trying to get rid of him. His name, to be honest, I'd completely forgot about him.
He was injured too, wasn't he?
I was under the impression that he had a longish or medium to long-term injury, which makes the loan even more surprising, unless we didn't take a fee. But then even so, I'd be surprised if a team cover his wages if he couldn't play for sort of 3 months or more. But maybe his injury is short-term. If it's only sort of 2 weeks out, bearing in mind there's 2 weeks off of the international break, then a team wouldn't mind covering his wages for a time when he wouldn't have played anyway.
Yeah, okay. Carl, just on Joel Campbell, would you have thought we would have kept him and he may have taken Chamberlain's place? Or are you happy to see him loan out?
Neither, to be honest. Neither of the options. If you've been loaned out six times by a club, what more concrete evidence do you need to think that the manager doesn't have faith in you to be in his first team?
Mm.
I don't know how long Wenger is actually going to spend and, you know, in terms of time or the amount of seasons until we actually think Joel Campbell can integrate into the first team. If he's going to loan him out six times, like why would you keep him? To be honest, I don't get. I really don't get. I'm really confused about Joel Campbell, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery. Savvy, we won't keep going on Joel Campbell, mate, unless you wanted to add something. But I just wanted to talk about Mustafi. The Inter deal fell through. What's your thoughts on Mustafi, unless you wanted to add something on Joel Campbell, mate?
Yeah, I think Joel Campbell, they said everything about him. And I think Mustafi, yeah, we didn't get any replacement for him. So I think we kept him. But I think he wanted to move, but we couldn't get John Evans or having it if it was true Van Dijk. So that's why we kept Mustafi, and I think he's the second best centre back at the club. Though he's not that great, he's average. But yeah, it makes sense to keep him because our defence looks very bleak, and so yeah, it makes sense to keep him.
Tony, I already know your thoughts on Mustafi. However, would you put Chambers in front of Mustafi, or would you like Mustafi to go?
I mean, the problem with Mustafi going was obviously numbers. Like, if we got rid of him, we was down to bare bones at centre-back. In terms of Chambers, I'd be interested to see him in a three. I think every attribute he has suits a three at the back on the right side of the three, which is where Mustafi plays for us. So it'd be interesting to see him. It's difficult because if, again, I've said it about Holding, if Mustafi is, say, 5% better than him at the moment, do you keep Mustafi in, knowing that, one, he doesn't want to be there, and, two, you're stunting Chambers' development, or do you give him that chance and accept you're going to be a few percent worse for a while, but you could grow into being a lot better once he gets confidence and whatnot with the team? It's a difficult one. Obviously, being in a few competitions, it will be helpful because we've obviously got Europa League and the Carabao Cup. So I would imagine players like Chambers will be playing in that. If we continue to play a five at the back, I wouldn't be surprised if he broke into the third team. He's half decent on the ball. He's half decent. He's kind of half decent at everything. When you're playing in with two centre backs, it's quite easy to isolate someone that's half decent. But with a three at the back, it's easier to accommodate. So whether Chambers takes Mustafi's place in the team, I'm not sure. But I can see why we haven't let him go, especially without a replacement coming in.
Carl, I've seen Chambers. I think I just haven't got it here in front of me. You guys might. It was a bid that was rejected for about 20 million or something, was it?
Yeah, Leicester.
Yeah. Mate, Wenger must have some faith in him if he's saying, oh, I want more, and like, he rejected the 20 million. Or what's your thoughts, mate? Like, it's weird.
I don't know. He was one of the centre backs, I think we covered this before, that the fact that he wasn't in the first team or barely any of the pre-seasons meant he wasn't going to get in the first team given the centre-backs we had. But now we kind of have a scarcity of centre-backs, of half-decent centre-backs. Yeah, the prices going up kind of shows that Wenger might use him in the future, I guess.
Yeah, I was just trying to look for it. I seen a report yesterday. It was on deadline day, and I thought it was if they up their bid to about 25 or 28 or something along them lines, then they can have him. But the type of fizzled out to nothing anyway. So, okay, who else we got, boys? Now, the big news yesterday was Sanchez. I'll go back before deadline day when we heard Sanchez in a swap deal with Sterling, Tony, and then about 2 hours later, it changed to Sanchez in a swap deal with Aguero. And then it went to, we'll accept $65 million, but Arsenal wanted a swap deal. Because swap deals, to me, I didn't think really much happens with them, but there was lots of talk about it.
In short, it was a load of nonsense. City were never going to put any player up or any player of note up. As a swap deal, Arsenal may have asked, but if they did, it was more as a, we know they won't say yes to this, so we'll ask. As instead of saying, looking like we're being difficult and just rejecting, we'll go for something outrageous that we know they're going to say no to. So then it looks like we're playing our part. I think the sort of 60 million figure was always going to be accepted. I think they knew that they were playing with time. Now there's reports coming out that Man City officials are really upset with Arsenal for playing about with the deal, as they feel they had everything agreed. But everyone knew what figure would get accepted, and they didn't want to offer it until 4 p.m. on deadline day. They offer that in the morning, it gets done. They offer it the day before, it gets done. Also knowing that he had a game, and any other replacements that we might have targeted were on international duty, which is very difficult to get them out of their squad. They knew what they were doing. They were trying to be clever and get him last minute without giving us a chance for a replacement. But they've messed themselves up because we was never going to sell without a replacement. So
and then we see reports of a ridiculous bid of, I think, $92 million for Lamar at last minute. Nothing was going to happen, really, was it?
The bid went in. There's a lot to be expanded on that. I'll probably do a separate piece on that, as well as the Chamberlain one, because Arsenal rested on their laurels, basically.
Okay. I don't know nothing about it, so I'll take your word for it, mate. Carl, what's your thoughts on the Sanchez City saga, mate?
I would have loved the swap deal between Aguero and Sanchez, to be honest, but we can't have everything. In terms of Sanchez, I think with the swap deal, you couldn't have... I don't know if it was Man City's point of view. Obviously, they were never going to take the swap deal, but it was a case of... It wouldn't really be strengthening either teams in the sense that it'd be balancing out kind of thing, because they'd strengthen with Sanchez and we'd equally strengthen with Aguero. So I don't think that swap deal would have worked.
Just you said on Aguero, where would say you'd have Lacazette, Aguero up front? You got to find a replacement still for Sanchez. So who plays in that position?
I don't know. I mean,
sorry to put you on the spot, but there were a lot of people talking about it, and I thought, kept thinking to myself, well, who do you put where Sanchez plays?
I think Wenger would possibly want to revert to two up top, but knowing Wenger, I don't think he would. You'd be spoilt for choice, really, if it was even a one-man striker for... formation, but then you'd have to keep both happy, so that'd be the only solution. And obviously Wenger's kind of stubborn when it comes to formations at times, so I don't know. Wishful thinking when it came to Aguero, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people type of jump the gun on it, and I kept looking at it and thinking, well, I don't know how that'd work, but yeah. Savvy, just on the Sanchez, what's your thoughts on Sanchez? So he looks like staying at Arsenal. The Spain transfer window's still open, but I can't see anything happening there. So Sanchez stays. Now, we all know he's unhappy. He doesn't want to be here. How does Wenger manage that?
I think, yeah, as Tony mentioned earlier, I think he doesn't want to stay here, and he doesn't want to stay here from the last season. And... So, yeah, but he looks like a type of guy who will still give his all. I know not for the team, and he won't be involved much with the team, but he'll still give his all, because I think South Americans are like that. So, yeah, I think City were playing with us by trying to snatch him at the last minute. And I think first time Arsenal kept strong and kept a player who really wanted to leave. So I think, yeah, there are two parts to the story, that he doesn't want to stay here and he's in the last year of his contract. But I think because we didn't get the replacement, so yeah, it makes sense to keep him, because he's still a world-class player. So I think his goals will help us in this season.
Tony, look in your magic ball come January to Sanchez leave.
It's a difficult one. Obviously, it depends on how teams are performing and whatnot. The main issue with it is, if you're Man City, and look, let's be realistic. However illegal it is, he's already agreed to join them. So, say they're top of the league in January. Why are they going to pay a transfer fee for a guy they know in 4 months' time will be theirs for free? It doesn't make sense. The best I think we can hope for is either another team turns his head and then he could go in January, or if City are struggling, like maybe not struggling for top four, but they're third and sort of 6 points off the pace or something, then potentially they could come back in for him. But it won't be anything like the $60 million we was offered yesterday, because, as I said, they know 4 months later that he's going to be their player. Like I said, tapping up may be illegal, but it happens in every single transfer in football. And he will already know what his sign-on fee is going to be, what his weekly wage is going to be at Man City, what all of his bonuses will be. So I'd be very surprised with a January move unless he completely doesn't try between now and then teams will come with really low offers. I expect teams to come with really low offers anyway, but I think City will stay out of it. And if he has got his heart set on City, as it seems, then I think he will be with us until the end of the year.
Do we look for a replacement in January? Is that when we start looking for, you know, Sanchez gone, 4 months to go?
For me, we should have done it in this window just finished. I mean, clubs ain't stupid. They all know what's going to happen. And as soon as we start going for any attacking player, whether they can... The problem with Ozil's contract also being up is we're looking for anyone that can play sort of behind the striker. Teams are going to know what we're playing at. So we're either going to have to go unproven or overpay. There's no other option. This window should have been looking to the future and maybe getting players that might not start now, but will walk into the team, are good enough to walk into the team in 12 months' time, as well as playing a bit part now. But Arsenal don't have any foresight and don't like spending any money, so we haven't done that.
Well, that brings me to my next point, Draxler. How come we didn't make a go for him?
They obviously just didn't fancy it. It was literally, we didn't, like, I know we saw all the in-the-know reports, Arsenal have done this, Arsenal have done that. We actually made no attempt to sign Julian Draxler.
Hmm.
So, they didn't fancy it.
Didn't
want Whatever. It. There might be reasons why that none of us know, but there was no attempt to sign him. The same goes for Riyad Mahrez. Not a single attempt to sign him.
Poor old Mahrez. Since you brought his name up, I had a laugh when I heard reports him flying into London. He went to a hotel in London and his agent's running around, and then he's back on the plane to Paris, and he still looks like he's a Leicester player unless Barcelona snap him up or somebody there, but I doubt it. So he's going to be one of them players who... I wonder, his heart doesn't want to be there, whether it'll reflect on the team a bit. Okay, Jack Wilshere, he was linked to West Ham late yesterday, out of nowhere, was it? Or was that ongoing report throughout the window?
I mean, he's been linked with a few different places. And there was three teams yesterday. It was Stoke, Birmingham and West Ham.
Oh, that's right. Birmingham, that's right, yeah.
They were all looking at him. Worryingly, I think Arsenal seemed pretty open to it, which is a joke, really, because it would have left us short in midfield. I hate the word passion. I think it's the worst word in football. But it also left us short of someone that wants to play for the club, has the club in there, like running through their veins. Reports have it that Arsenal pulled the deal at the last minute. Not at the last minute of the deal, but they pulled the deal quite late because they knew that we're going to get a massive backlash in the press anyway for not signing anyone. We then also can't let another player go, another option. But there is a report. I mean, it seems it's pretty clear that Arsenal were open to it sort of earlier in the day, whether it be a loan or a transfer, but he only has a year left, so if it had been a loan, it would have been just accepting you're not going to take any money for him and getting him off the wage bill.
Yeah. You glad we kept him, Carl, or you would like to see him go?
I'm very happy we kept him, to be honest. We've actually got a midfielder that probably could give a damn in the centre of the park. You know, he gets injured sometimes for the way he plays, that sort of aggressive style of play he has, but I'd welcome that more than a guy that thinks he's the third striker in the team and doesn't help out his midfield partner. Also known as Aaron Ramsey.
I was waiting for it. Jack Wilshere on his day, savvy. He'll really push us a long way, won't he?
Yeah, I'm glad we kept him. I think he can be unplayable on his day, as you said. I think... He's my only hope right now, seeing our midfield struggling, because Santi Cazorla is nowhere to be seen, and Xhaka is struggling. Yeah, I think it's debatable, but Ramsey is also struggling. So I think he's the only hope for us, and it's good that we kept him. He plays for the team, he plays for the badge, and I think he can really be a power in that midfield.
Okay. I don't agree with you with Shaka, but anyway. I think he's played two bad games.
I think his defensive contribution is bad. Otherwise, he's a great player for me, too.
And I'm a fan of Shaka. So. Dabuchi. Tony.
The club are talking to him about terminating his contract. For anyone that don't know what that means is they pay him up, but it won't be the whole sum. Otherwise, they would just keep him. They say, for example, he's on 70 grand a week, which over the year works out to be about 4 million. My maths isn't that great. They may say offer, say, 2 million cash up front for him to go away and never come back. He is then free to sign for another club. Usually when clubs do this, it happens quite a lot in the lower leagues, it's to subsidise wages. So they know he's never going to get 70 grand a week again. But if Arsenal pay, say, half his contract up and he goes and gets 35 grand a week elsewhere, then he's still effectively on the same money. And he gets to play, which you would kind of hope that most footballers want. So Arsenal are in negotiations over that with him at the moment. No one knows how that will go. No one knows what figure it is they're going to offer him. And he might not take it anyway. He might decide that he wants to sit about for 70 grand a week, even if they offered him the equivalent of 60 grand a week up front. He might decide that life's pretty comfortable at Arsenal and he doesn't want to go. But, I mean, who knows? That's where we're at the moment. The club have offered to pay him up. I don't know the figures. But we'll see where that leads from here.
Is the loan... Players can still loan up until a certain time, can't they? You still loan players out or something?
You can loan out to anywhere where the transfer window is open, or the Football League has a loan window that opens, I think, in a week or two. The issue with that is his wages are just so high and he hasn't played for so long, it's not even worth the risk.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on Dabuchi, Carl?
I think I covered them, to be honest. Dabuchi, he's kind of robbing a living at Arsenal, to be honest, sitting in the reserves. It's not even the third team. I don't even know where he is. Probably cooped up at home while all the Arsenal games are on. Dabuchi, I don't know. I don't think he's going to leave anytime soon. He has no reason to. He's earning money.
Fair enough. Savvy, look, there's a lot of fans, and I won't say what they are, but there's a lot of Arsenal fans look very disappointed with the transfer window. A lot of people are calling Stan out, Kroenke, and they're saying we prefer Usmanov or whatever his name is. What's your thoughts, mate, on it all?
I think we messed up in this window. Instead of spending some money, we earned some money in this window. So that's hilarious for me because we are a great club. I think the seventh richest club in the world. Our matchday income is, I think, the most in Europe. And so I think really Stan... he's leeching out the money from the club. So, yeah, it's this window was embarrassing, to be honest, because so many players got out, got off the wage bill. As Wenger said, the first thing we need to sign more players was to sell some players. We sold them, though it was late, but obviously some players needed, some replacements were needed, especially, I think, for the players like Ox. We needed the replacement but we needed some strengthening at the centre-back position, I think, in the midfield position. So, yeah, I think we messed up badly in this window.
Tony?
On Usmanov, right, Kroenke's awful. We need to get rid of him. He's leveraging us against other businesses. It's an absolute disgrace. But I tweeted this yesterday, and again, it may need more clarification. The club is worth a lot more to him than it is anyone else due to him leveraging other projects against it. So we're not going to get brought out because, say, the actual value of the club is around 1.5 to 1.8 billion. He's going to want at least 2.5, if not 3, because it's funding all of his other projects. And it's obviously he's leveraging all these other projects against Arsenal. So start off, I think the guy's a disgrace and I don't really want him at the club, but there's nothing we can do about it and he's not going to sell. On Usmanov, I mean, me and you spoke about it earlier. He is not whiter than white. His money isn't all particularly clean. There's probably been some dodgy dealings in his past, but all of the same has been said about Roman Abramovich. So I don't think he'd leave us in the lurch. I think he's more someone that would throw his money in and have it as his little toy for a bit. And that's what Abramovich has done, and it's worked pretty well for Chelsea. I'm not saying I'd want us to be the same as Chelsea, sacking managers every other week and spending stupid money on any player that plays well every now and then. But I think Usmanov is more in the Abramovich mold than anyone else. And I mean, he's better than the Nigerian whose name I can't even be bothered to learn. It's more likely that Usmanov's going to go and buy the remaining share of Everton, because the guy the company that owns his shares in Arsenal is called Red and White Holdings. Obviously, he owns the company. But the guy he had running that company was Foshad Mashiri, who last summer left the company to go and buy Everton. And obviously, we've seen what they've done in this transfer window. Because there's no way of Usmanov getting a controlling share in Arsenal, and I think he knows that, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and buys the remaining shares in Everton and teams up with his old former right-hand man and makes a go of it there.
I overheard, and I listen to a fair few podcasts, but I like one in particular. It's the Arsecast, and I'll give him a rap because he had an interview on this week, and it was about a book called The Billionaires Club. I've got the book, and I will read it, and I reckon it should be a good read. But in there, it's a chapter how they talk about how Stan Kroenke basically, he's a businessman. He runs the club like a business. He doesn't really care about what the fans have to say. He doesn't care about winning trophies and etc. It's choking my words saying this. Is the only way to get him out is the relegation, because the guy will actually see his bank balance go down when we become relegated. What's your thoughts on all that, Carl?
I don't want to be relegated, to be honest.
I did say I was choking on my words as I was saying it. But to me, it did make sense, because when you look at a businessman and you see and his money's dwindling away out of this club, he's not interested in being part of Arsenal for anything else but money.
Of course. That's established, as well established. But I don't want the fact that we have to sacrifice as a club just to, you know, as one of the byproducts of that is getting rid of the owner, like cause and effect, really. But I don't know. Yeah, that seems like the only feasible option.
People are talking about petitions and things, Tony, and I don't think it'll work, mate.
No, I mean, there was obviously muted petitions and marches last year, mainly against Wenger. There was some against Kroenke, but there was a joke going around last year because there was someone seen throwing a cone while shouting Kroenke out outside the Emirates. And there was the meme going around was it narrowly missed him in his Texas ranch by about 6,000 miles. He's not... Like, he's probably been to 10 to 20 Arsenal games since he's owned the club. Mm. He probably doesn't know the names of the players. He won't know what our score was last weekend. He doesn't care. He's purely a businessman, and you've got to say, as much as it pains us as fans, he's a good businessman.
Oh,
because
brilliant.
He's making money.
Yeah.
But yeah, he doesn't care about all that stuff. I don't know. I can't see, as Carl just said, I can't really see a way to get rid of him unless someone overvalues a club by nearly double. Because even since he's brought the club, like, real estate's become worth so much that the Emirates is worth probably double what we paid for it now, just because of how much property costs in the area.
Mm.
So you're looking at a ground we paid 600 million for. I mean, I'm not whether it's all paid off or if there's still some to finance on it. It's kind of ambiguous. It's never really clear. But that real estate's probably worth at least £1 billion now. So valuing the club at 1.5 billion isn't going to do anyone any favours, because that's without all the TV deals, without the playing squad, without anything else, just that one building is worth around £1 billion. So getting him out is going to be... That's also the problem. I mean, like, he would sell if we get relegated, which touchwood won't happen. But even then, he wouldn't sell for a low amount because the real estate is still worth so much. And then you've got to look for someone that wants to spend probably £1.5 billion on a championship club. Again, wouldn't happen.
No.
So it's one of them. Even if we did get relegated, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. Well, I think he'd want us to sell. He'd want to sell us, but I don't think there'd be the buyers because, as I said, it'd be a better option for him to fold the club and turn it into a block of flats.
And you think Arsenal fans are upset? Just go over to America and have a look at the, shall I say, Los Angeles Rams.
I mean, American fans, I'm kind of not really too sympathetic with them because their franchises, that team could move to another city and it tends to be the way that they don't follow the same team. They just follow whatever team's in their city. Mm. So when a team moves to... So I think it might have been the LA Rams that they came from. They were somewhere else when he brought them, I think.
It was St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, so now how many of the St. Louis people support the LA Rams or have they moved to whoever's there? I think it's difficult. I don't think a franchise has the same supporter base as like the English model of clubs does.
I agree with you, but I know a couple of friends in St. Louis and they now support Tottenham Hotspurs, just quietly. okay, so just on, does anyone else want to add anything on that, Carl, Savvy?
Yeah, I want to say something on Kroenke again. The fact that he's stretched a lot across so many different kind of aspects of sport, whether it be basketball with the Denver Nuggets, I think.
Yep.
The NFL, obviously, you got the Rams, wherever they're going to go to next, aren't they? And Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that he's not focused just on Arsenal kind of speaks volumes or kind of shows you that he doesn't really care about the club, to be honest. Compared to someone else like that, Nigerian investor that was rumoured to be, you know, preparing a bid. I think, yeah, that's
just on,
something you got to mention.
Yeah, no, and you just give me a thought, Tony. You said that if we didn't, you know, if we got relegated, who would buy a Championship Cup club? I'd nearly think someone in China would.
You're losing out on all the TV money, and a lot of the people in China do stuff for fame. Not fame, but, well, yeah, fame to get known. You lose out on all the TV money. Obviously, there's no Europe in championships, so you lose out on that as well. And again, you'd still be looking at £1.5 billion. You could buy, barring probably four, you could buy every Premier League club for that. So I don't see Arsenal would be an option for that amount of money if they was in the championship. Mm. As I said, just because of real estate, the training ground and the ground, we're worth more than £1 billion just on property. Then you've got the play-in squad, then you've got TV deals and sponsorship deals and whatnot. So it's one of them things where the value would come down, obviously, but just on property, you're still looking at billions.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. What was it? Early yesterday or the day before, all of a sudden we heard a rumour going around Arsenal had no money. And then we see a bid for Lamar for $92 million. Did you hear that, Tony?
Yeah, so it was leaked to David Ornstein, who is the club's mouthpiece. No idea why it was leaked. This is just a strange one. All it was going to do was cause anger. Maybe they thought it would help keep transfer fees low, but I doubt other clubs would really feel sorry for us and think, oh, look, they've got no money. Let's sell them our player for $10 million less.
Mm.
So I don't really know. As I said, I'd already heard that and I tweeted about it a few days before from someone at the club, and a few other people that are semi-reliable with Arsenal business had tweeted that as well.
Mm.
And obviously it was leaked from the club. So I don't know where it's come from or what the reason that it was, but the club were definitely briefing that. So it's not just like one journalist has made it up. The rumour had been going around for a few days.
Yeah, okay. Did it panic you, Carl?
Or you thought? I think it was ridiculous, to be honest, to leak the idea that we had no money, because in the last couple of days in the transfer window, no team's going to take pity on us when we're trying to make a desperate like panic buy deal, the prices are going to be inflated at the end of the day. So I don't know what we were trying there, to be honest. Wasn't going to change anything.
No, it was odd when I seen it. I thought, well, we've got no money now. Okay. And then the next day we see, yeah, like I say, and the first thing I thought, savvy, was all of it. We've been going for Lamar all winter. It's been leaked, or, you know, rumours suggesting it was 30 million, 40 million, 50 million, pay the 60 million, and then you see, oh, we've got no money.
Yeah. I think we were in for Lamar since June, and still we couldn't get him. And now we are saying that we don't have money. So I think it didn't make any sense.
It was pretty ridiculous. Okay, Tony, who was your buy? Who was your buy of the window?
Depends. If you're looking at value for money, then you've probably got to look like someone like Chicharito, West Ham, for that sort of money. But he's the type of player that you can't play out front on your own, so not many other clubs would have taken the chance on him. I think Tottenham have got some really good buys, actually, as much as it pains me to say. I was really surprised we didn't go for Aurier, Serge Aurier, the right back they signed for 23 million. He's had disciplinary issues, but he is a good player. He's the type of player that actually suits us quite a lot. And I also think Llorente is a good buy for 12 million. Yeah, he's old, but you know what you're going to get. He's going to win his fair share of headers, and he's not going to run very quickly, but he would be happy to sit on the bench in the last 15 minutes if you're struggling for a goal on a team at defending deep. You can pump it long, and you can bank on him winning his fair share of headers. So I think both of their signings are very good, annoyingly. So I'd say one of them three is the top buy. I mean, Aurier remains to be seen in what he's like in England. But on previous football ability, it's a no-brainer. You're only banking on... The only doubt over him was his professionalism in the past. But he's older, he's more mature. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Carl?
It might be a bit laughable, but I'm saying the best sign in the window, value for money, is Wilfred Bonny to Swansea.
I'd agree with that.
I think he was amazing at Swansea. He kind of lost his mojo at Man City because he lost his place in the team. Didn't really pick it back up at, I think it was Stoke, was it? But now he's back at Swansea. I think that's a great signing for Swansea. Another good value for money signing, I think, is Chris Wood to Burnley. I think it was Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
From Leeds. I think he could do really well for them. In terms of big money buy, I think, for a player that needed one, it was definitely, in my opinion, Man United for Lukaku.
Yeah. Look, and they needed a Lukaku up front. Man United, what about you, Savvy?
I think best buy was Kolasinac for us because he was free and he was Bundesliga's best left back last season. So I think it's a great buy if we look at the money. And another signing, I think Mohamed Salah. I think it's also great buy if you consider his pace, and I think he's got great pace, and his style suits Liverpool, so I think that would be a great buy.
Yeah, okay. Just on Swansea, I thought they had actually a pretty good window. They brought in seven players, I think it was, and they got that Sanchez from Bayern on loan.
Yeah.
How did they manage that one, Tony?
Well, Paul Clement, their manager, was the Bayern assistant. And he's always been Ancelotti's assistant when he was at Real Madrid, when he was at Chelsea. So I think he leveraged personal relationships there. To be honest, Bayern, he's been a bit of a flop at Bayern. Many believe that he's got his big money move and now he thinks he's made it and he's stopped caring. That remains to be seen. And Bayern were trying to get rid of him on a loan with an obligation to buy for 35 million. Mm-hmm. When you do that, if it's an obligation to buy, you're literally saying the player is worth 35 million at that present time, which there's no way on earth he is. So that's why a lot of the big teams pulled out. And then obviously Paul Clement used his relationships at the last minute to get a deal without an obligation to buy, it seems. And it's purely on relationship. But a lot of clubs turned down Renato Sanchez before. He's obviously ended up at Swansea.
I'm putting that down to probably, you know, a really good deal. That's if he performs. Like, to get a player of that calibre on loan, like, what did Bayer play for him last season, wasn't it?
28 million,
okay. 28.
That's on, they wanted the obligation at 35, so he's saying in a year of not playing, he's actually improved by £7 million.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, I think another great buy was Krikoviak for West Bromwich. I think it was a great buy on loan.
West Brom, yeah, they did all right, didn't they, West Brom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just...
Did better than us.
Oh, a lot better than us. I seen a tweet today. Arsenal had a brilliant transfer winner. This was from an Arsenal fan. I thought, are you kidding me? Like,
what was he smoking?
I thought... Come on, mate. I thought, come on, mate. You got to be kidding, haven't you? Drink water. Now, he goes to Chelsea. Does he even get a start?
probably not. It fulfills a British quota. He's played with Kante before, so he'll slot in pretty easily. But... I mean, it's a weird one, because you'd imagine if they want to go for energy, they'd play Bakayoko, who they've also just signed for a lot of money. And if they want to go for less energy but excellent on the ball, they play Fabregas. So I guess Drinkwater's somewhere in between. But, I mean, I wouldn't go for an in-between player when you've got two players that are very good at this. Like, you choose what one you need for that week and you go with them. Mm. I know they've got more competitions this year and stuff. And maybe they're thinking it's not enough with only three players, so they need an extra body in there. I personally wouldn't have gone after Drinkwater if I was them, but Conte's a better manager than I'll ever be, so
yeah.
Can't really question the point.
Yeah, just seemed an odd buy. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask for a couple of predictions, and only up until January. Where do you see Arsenal in January? Tony?
As I usually go with 10-0 predictions for scorelines every week, I'll say 21st, just so I can be wrong as usual. I don't know. Literally, I think we're worse than last year and other teams are better. But you never know. It's quite easy. Once you get a bit of confidence, you could have a run of 10 games where you can beat anyone. The problem is, especially with Arsenal, if we have a few bad results and we get stuck in low confidence, especially with the way our fans are going to be, with how hostile we're going to be towards our own club, anything could happen. I'm not all doom and gloom. I think we'll be all right, but I can't see us pushing for Europe or for Champions League, to be honest.
Carl?
When there's like several different factors, obviously, when you think about the run-up to Christmas. One of the main ones being the opponents we have. So we've got Chelsea, we've got the likes of Man City, Everton, our biggest rivals at the moment, West Brom, Tottenham, obviously, and Man United as well. I can see us lingering around 8th, 9th position if everything kind of goes to plan against smaller teams. We can pick up a couple of draws against the bigger teams. That's what I think. I'm not really that optimistic, to be honest.
What about you, Savvy?
Yeah, I think I really want us to be at least in the top four positions. But realistically, judging by the quality of our squad, I think we'll be mid-table around 6th or 7th. And it could be better also, because our bad time starts generally after January, so maybe we are in the top four by that time.
I'm gonna agree. 5th, 6th, 7th, around that area, I think, by January. I just really can't see us challenging at all. Tony, you would have seen it. I knew other boys might have. I tweeted out earlier, what's our best starting lineup?
I've been getting most of the replies to that, obviously running the Twitter, and it's difficult. A lot of people have omitted Sanchez, but if you're going on purely on football ability, you have to include him.
I think again, in the tweet I did say, keep in mind, and I'll rephrase it, keep in mind we have some unhappy players.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that he's still at the club, or he, I mean, if he is at midnight when the Spanish deadline closes, he's going to play as much. He has to play. There's no way they're going to pay him that money and know that they've got a probably best player sitting there sulking. So it all depends on what formation. I mean, I don't think Wenger will abandon the five at the back. So I think our strongest, I'm not necessarily sure Wenger will go for this, but I think our strongest will be Cech in goal, Bellerin at right wing back, Mustafi, Koscielny, Monreal as the three centre backs, Kolasinac on the left. He'll stick with Xhaka, Ramsey because of what they've done last season, and Ozil and Sanchez behind Lacazette, unless we're playing a more physical team, and then Giroud will start, I would imagine. He likes Danny Welbeck because he stretches the pitch. For me, he's not in our strongest 11. I can understand why he picks him at times. I think Welbeck gets more abuse than he probably should. He also gets more playing time than he probably should, which is where the abuse comes from. But to predict what my strongest 11 is probably that. What Wenger's strongest 11 is, who knows?
So you're leaving Lacazette out?
I'd play Lacazette in front of Ozil and Sanchez, but I'd say it depends on the style of team as well. If we're going away to West Brom and not starting Giroud, we might as well not turn up and just give him the 3 point.
Carl, you agree with that, mate, or you want to change it around a bit? Or
I agree with most of that lineup. Obviously, I don't know what the thing is up with Koscielny at the moment. Was it ligament damage he sustained last night or something?
No, I think he played the game after that. And then he played the game after that, so I think he's okay.
Yeah, thank God for that. Because if not, we'd have to play someone like Chambers, but I'd love to see Arsenal. I'd love to see a big man, small man strike force. If we played two up top, Lacazette doing getting in behind the defence, Giroud kind of being the target man, holding up the play. Because when he's playing for France, I think that's where he thrives. He has a striker next to him that's smaller than him. He can play off him, hold up the balls. He can pass well for a striker. So I'd like to see that, but I don't think Wenger would like to see that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Servi?
I think we need to switch back to back four, because I think three at the back is not working right now. So for that, I think I'll put Ozil at the number 10 position. I think Wenger will start either Welbeck or Theo at right wing, then Sanchez at left wing, Lacazette up top. I think I would like Wilshere more than Ramsey with Xhaka in the midfield positions. And then Kolasinac, Koscielny, Mustafi and Bellerin with Cech in the goal.
Okay. Righto. Well, we've gone for an hour, lads. Give the listeners plenty tonight or today. I've just got this one question here, and he's a regular replier, Glenn. He says, this is for you, Tony. How can there not be a plan year after year? We sign someone, we need the appetite, then we pack up shop, all done, when there is a huge gap. How do we get the message across to Wenger and the board? It's not good when the culture of the club is all wrong.
That's the billion-dollar question. How are the club not seeing what everyone else can see? We're short in certain areas. We start the season not ready every year, although Wenger will probably argue we were ready because he's not made any additions to that. It's a difficult question to answer. I think it's more of an observation than a question, and I completely agree with him, but I can't give him an answer.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on it, Carl?
You can just see from the board that lacks ambition. And then Wenger tries to paper up the cracks every year, saying, "Oh, I thought it was the ideal window," and stuff like that. And then it's an ideal situation when you've got a player 1 year left on the contract. No, it isn't. Yeah. It's a simple fact. But the problems are so deep rooted at that club, it's unbelievable.
What about you, Savvy?
Yeah, I think we can't do anything about that right now. The club clearly lacks ambition. And yeah, all we could do is put up some petitions or maybe protest at the games. That's all we fans can do. But I don't know why our club doesn't acknowledge the things everyone can see.
Yeah, it isn't a good culture, and only other team I can think of experiences a little bit is Newcastle United, because they didn't have a real good transfer window. I don't know, guys. It's just one of them things that we need to get rid of Stan. How do we do it? We don't know. We can put petitions up. We can put posters up. We can march the streets. We can stop buying merchandise. But at the end of the day, we're hurting our own club, I suppose, that we all love and support. So I don't know what the answer is, to be honest. Any of you guys, any last words?
I've been sent some questions, so can I just answer them quickly for the people that have hung on and actually sent us questions in?
Yeah, go for it, Mike.
So the first one I got was from Aditya Alexis 003, is his Twitter handle. He said, please cover why we didn't go for Draxler, Seri and Carvalho. Obviously, we've already covered Draxler earlier in the pod. Seri, we never had any interest in. His agent was touting him all around Europe. He obviously didn't get his move. So I think the fan opinion is a lot higher of Seri than the club's opinions are. And then on William Carvalho, the very simple answer is no top club has ever looked at him. His agent is Pep Guardiola's brother. If he was that good, he would have been at Barca, Bayern, Roma or Man City by now. He's obviously not. I've never rated him when I've seen him, which isn't a lot, to be fair to him. But when your brother's a top manager, if a player's that good, there's only one place he'd end up. Mm. So that's my thoughts on them. We've also had Iceman, whose Twitter handle is I-E-Y-E Isaac. Oh, Eyes Isaac, which is weird. Anyway, he said, what happened before and after the Liverpool game in the dressing room? According to all reports, at halftime, Ramsey called Koscielny a shit captain. Probably not the time to do it, but he's also correct. He is a shit captain. He then had a bust up with Alexis over. Apparently, a few players have had a bust up with Alexis going back to around the turn of the year due to his attitude has apparently been a disgrace. He seems to do what he wants, turns up when he wants, trains sort of however hard or however not hard he wants, and ignores pretty much all instructions. I think that all came to a head at halftime, and by all accounts, Big Peter Cech had to step in and sort it all out. But yeah, that's the gist of what went on in the dressing room. I believe the Mole is going to add to that in an article he's going to write over the weekend, but that's the main gist of what happened. By all accounts, Oxlade-Chamberlain wasn't involved. A lot of people seem to think he was just because of how poor he was playing and his clear lack of interest in the game. But by all accounts, he was hid in the corner texting Liverpool, telling them to hurry up and sign him.
This is what worries me, though, and probably worries fans going forward, is are they big enough and ugly enough to get over it, or does this continue week in, week out?
Well, Sanchez has been been disliked at the club since January. Maybe slightly before, maybe towards the end of December. So, I mean, saying can they get over it, they performed they turned up onto a pitch between January and March with the same problems and then seemed to get over it from then onwards. So I'd imagine, you're never going to like everyone you work with in any walk of life. So hopefully they can get over it and get on with things. We'll have to see. But it's not just, Ramsey was the example used then because it was him that said it, but there's a lot more players have had a bust up with Alexis. I think the reason Ramsey pointed out that Koscielny was a shit captain is because he didn't say anything to Sanchez about what he was doing, his clear lack of effort, his, as I said, behaving as he pleases. So I think Ramsey called him a shit captain due to him not being a captain with Alexis. So it's not just Ramsey that has a problem with him. It's pretty much everyone, from what I gather.
It doesn't seem like a team, Carl, does it? And that has had a manager for 20 years, does it?
No, it's the most disjointed Arsenal team that I can remember. But, you know, with the rise of social media and all that, you're always going to get rumours about spats between players and stuff. But most of them, I can believe, from the Liverpool performance, are believable. Another thing I'd like to talk about, just quickly, is about the fact that Wenger played Oxlade-Chamberlain against Liverpool. Wondering if Wenger will play Sanchez against Manchester City.
Tony?
Let's think about this.
I mean, but it's a while away. It's not as if we're playing them this weekend. It will depend on form. Like, you're asking that question, I assume, with the angle of saying he shouldn't, which I understand. But we've got 10 games between them. If he scores 14 goals in then 10 games and then drops Alexis for that game, everyone will hammer Wenger. It's one of them. If Alexis plays and we lose, then it's going to be Wenger's fault for playing a player that we know wants to be at the rival. But on the other hand, if he doesn't play Alexis and we lose, it's going to be an idiot for not playing our best player. So it really all does depend what happens between now and then, and also how the result goes. As I said, if he doesn't play Alexis and we win, it's a stroke of genius. And if he does play Alexis and we win, it's, well, of course you did. He's our best player. It's really a no-win situation for Wenger. And it all depends what happens between now and then.
Is a lot of this, and you said, Carl, disjointed club, is a lot of it Wenger's fault? Or is it the board?
A bit of both, really. That is a very hard question. Wenger, I don't know too much about him in the dressing room, but I don't know if he's that vocal, to be honest. I see him on the sidelines. He doesn't really say anything. He just mouths off to Steve Bould, and then Steve Bould takes over. But I saw that interview on, I don't know if it was TalkSport or something, with Ian Wright, and he said that he thought Arsenal players lost faith in Wenger about 3 years back. I don't know if Wenger doesn't come across to me as that much, like, that commanding as a manager, that sort of manager we need.
Mm. Remember Louis van Gaal? He didn't even get up out of his chair. what's your thoughts on it, Tony? Is it his fault, or is it a bit of both? Or
it's difficult. He doesn't manage by fear. So in that sense, you're right. He tries to be like a father figure rather than a dictator, which is probably where he differs from Mourinho. Mourinho also wins things. But I mean, it's difficult who to put the blame on, because the players don't dislike Wenger. So I don't think it's him that's caused a broken dressing room. I think the only person that can cause a broken dressing room is either if the person themselves are hated, and Wenger certainly isn't, or if you've got an arsehole in the camp like we have with Alexis. He just happens to be a very good arsehole. So I don't think, to be honest, I don't think it's down to the board or Wenger that the club's disjointed in the dressing room. The club's disjointed is down to both of them, but in the dressing room, I think it's more we've got a bad egg in there, and usually you'd get rid of the bad egg. He just happens to be our best player, and either way, you can't win. You keep him in there and you say, oh, the dressing room's a horrible place. You get rid of him and, oh, you've sold your best player. Like, you literally...
He's in a no-win situation.
Well, I mean, it's like Liverpool getting praised for keeping Coutinho against his wishes, and we're idiots for keeping Sanchez against his wishes. I understand that, obviously, they've got different contract lengths, but it's like it can't be one rule for one and one rule for the other. And then, well, it can. Yeah.
And then Southampton, they decided to keep Van Dijk, and he put in the transfer request and all, didn't he?
Yeah, he went the furthest out of the three of them. He was the only one to actually sacrifice money for it.
Yeah, it's just, bizarre. What's your thoughts on it all, Savvy?
Yeah, I think we can't really say if it's Wenger's fault or the board's fault. Yeah, as Tony mentioned, I think Alexis Sanchez is the main culprit right now. And everybody knows that. So that's why Ramsey, I think, said that at the halftime in the Liverpool game. So I think we really don't know. But I think we have kept him. So now I think he'll play. So, and they have been playing with him since January. So I think we can get over this. And this dressing room can get back to where they were before.
2 years down the track, Tony, who do we replace him with?
It's difficult. I mean, to be honest, at this rate, it doesn't look like it will last 2 years, but it's a difficult one because it all depends who your chief exec is at the time. It's pretty well known now that Gazidis had a short list of managers he wanted to bring in. He wanted Wenger gone. He wanted to change the model of the club and bring in a manager with a director of football. He'd started to contact both managers and directors of football. And then Stan overruled him because Wenger's very good for business. Mm. It's difficult. If Stan still has the final say and Wenger's still half interested in keeping him on, I wouldn't be surprised if he signs on again. I don't think that'll happen because I think the negativity around the club will get too much for Wenger. But as I said, it's who's making the decision, what structure we want to go with. There's too many variables to just say in 2 years our manager will be X.
He seems like his heart's not in it. Just watching him moping around like a mangy dog, I'm thinking, bloody hell, like, put some effort into it, mate. Like, he just seems like he doesn't want to be there, and it's probably the first time I've actually, looked at him and gone, he just doesn't seem like his heart's in it.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like the abuse. I mean, no one would.
No one likes the abuse, but yeah.
Exactly. So it's a weird one. I mean, his heart, I don't know, people argue this. I think he clearly cares about the club. He just doesn't realise that maybe his time's been and gone. Or not maybe, his time has been and gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more, I mean, people question his love for the club and whatnot. I feel it's more self-confidence. He is very confident that he is the man to do whatever job it is the club want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's just backing himself. And unfortunately, I think him and Stan Kroenke are the only ones now. But they're the two that matters. Because if either one of them pull out, then he's no longer the manager. But at the moment, the only two people that seem to actually want him there are the only two that matter.
We'll wrap it up shortly. Last question, Carl. If, as we predicted, some of us 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th in January, will they sack him?
No. Won't happen.
Savvy?
Wenger won't be sacked. He just respect his company.
Yeah, I don't think they are ever going to sack Arsene Wenger, because I think right now the board thinks he's bigger than the club. So I don't think he'll be sacked.
So it wouldn't matter what he's coming in January, Tony, he's not getting sacked, though.
I don't believe so. As I said, most of the board didn't want him there anyway, and Kroenke overruled them, as is his right as owner. So the only way is if Kroenke's pocket starts to get hurt, and I don't think it will. People go on about merchandise and that, but that actually plays zero part in the club's income. Puma pay X amount a year, and they keep all revenue from, the majority of the revenue from kits. People go on about stop buying souvenirs and snacks at the ground. That's hired out to a company called Delaware North, who I think had a 10-year contract when we first moved, so that would have been up. So I wouldn't be surprised if they've signed another 5 or 10 years. They also do Wembley. So there's not much that will actually affect Kroenke's pocket, and I think Kroenke's pocket is the only thing that can affect Wenger's job.
Mm.
So I can't. I'd be more inclined to say if he does go, it'd be him walking away because he can't handle the abuse anymore, like if the abuse gets too much. But I think that it's much more likely that he'll walk away than that he'll get sacked.
Mm. Okay, boys, well, we'll wrap it up, eh? You can follow us at clockendtalk underscore talk. You can follow our blog at clockend.blog. Subscribe to us on iTunes. I think we might give next week's podcast a miss because we won't really have much to talk about, guys. And then we'll
I'm going to do pieces more in depth on the Lamar bid and on what happened with Chamberlain, as I've told people. So just to remind you, they are coming separately. It's not that we forgot to do them today.
Thanks, Tony. Looking forward to it, mate. Okay, subscribe to us at iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at clockend_talk. Follow the blog, clockend.blog. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you after the Bournemouth Arsenal game. Have a great weekend. See you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.